Well, tonight I want to talk about spiritual wanderers. Spiritual wanderers. And maybe some of us are wondering a little bit what this is all about. And I just want to firstly have us to look at two scriptures. Firstly, in Hosea chapter 9 and...
That one.
Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. And in here is where Hosea is prophesying again, also often judgment because of Israel's rebellion. And in here he prophesies and he says this in their judgment, how God is dealing with them. And of course, finally, he does bring them back. And he says in verse 17 here, "My God will cast them away because they did not obey him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." And for almost 2,000 years, because of judgment over Israel, God has permitted and allowed the children of Israel to wander amongst nations. As a result of their rebellion and their unbelief. And of course, we now are seeing under the time of restoration, God restoring Israel, bringing his remnant back, ready in order to meet with Messiah. We also get another recollection of this in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 6. In Zechariah 10, Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 6. And here, this is speaking about the restoration of Judah and Israel. And it says here in verse 6, "I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them back, because I have mercy on them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them." So we clearly see that as a nation, Israel is going to be restored from being wanderers. And that is a great, great blessing, because I actually want to speak tonight about the depravity, if you like, of those that just simply wander. And you see, the nature of these scriptures is obviously God's judgment, but his eventual forgiveness. And Israel became wanderers in the desert, as we know, through rebellion, through unbelief. And so God had to give them up. And we're told that their bodies became carcasses in the wilderness. And so that was really signifying to Israel what God was going to do if they rebel, if they don't conform to his will. And so in many ways, that was a warning to Israel. And that warning spiritually today is still to Christians or professing believers. And so because God gave up Israel in the wilderness, and they became wanderers really out of that, that was a clear warning of rebellion and unbelief and the results of what would happen. And of course the results of what happened was that they as a nation then scattered into the four corners of the earth. And really, in many ways, they, in many ways, disappeared. So that Israel or Jews were only known amongst certain nations, amongst people, amongst communities, or various places where they congregated or where they kept, and then of course they held the traditions of their faith over the centuries. That is what wandering does. And so Jews today, until they're restored, really do not have a redemptive purpose over their gathering. They go through the rituals, but there's no real shedding of blood to deal with sin. And of course, they will always try and excuse that when that is brought up by the fact that they keep the ceremonies and the feasts and the Yom Kippur and so forth. And that really, they say, is good enough. But it isn't good enough in the sight of God, because the blood has to make one right. The blood has to give you a standing before God. And Israel, at the moment, does not have that standing yet before God. Many like to think that she has, but she hasn't. She will, but she hasn't at the moment. And so, when you become a wanderer, you not only look back to the past and traditions and to what it was, but you no longer have that standing before God, because the power of redemption is not working on your behalf. And I'm starting with Old Testament, obviously, in this, because when I bring this over in the New Covenant and what we actually see going on today, you get a principle and understanding of what actually goes on. And we see God's dealing with those who wander. Let's turn to Jeremiah 14 and verse 10. In Jeremiah 14 verse 10, he says, "Thus says the Lord to the people, thus they have loved to wander and have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them, and he will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins." So he says, they love to wander and have not restrained their feet. So in their blindness and their rebellion, they now love to wander. And this is where we get sort of this understanding of the roaming Jews or wandering Jews. They move around, which they've done through every century, which they should never have done. That was never God's plan for them. And of course, this wandering and moving around has got them in so much trouble. And this, of course, is what happens to those who don't walk rightly before the Lord. Now, bearing that in mind, let's take this over now under the New Covenant. And the New Testament also has much to reveal about the state or the spiritual state of these people that wander. And the first one I want to look at, which you know very well, is in Jude 13. In Jude 13. Remember Israel, their sin, their rebellion, their failing to enter into the promised land is an example to the world and to the Christians that if God allowed that with Israel, he can still allow it to happen today. And therefore, it is all a warning to us. And he says here in Jude chapter 13, let's take it from verse 12, I think, because this is dealing with apostates, those who have experienced the Lord, walked with God, probably baptized in the Spirit, charismatics, but now they become apostates, they've fallen away. And he says, "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, that's pretty graphic, what Jude puts here. He says, he speaks about your love feasts. In other words, he's speaking about the hypocrisy, the gathering together of the saints. And while they feast with you, and you could speak about communion, the love feast, which is an actual supper, because that is a very serious and solemn time for the Christian. When we have that love feast, and in that time, not only do we share communion, but we wash one another's feet, which is a sign that we are willing and want to serve our brother, our sister. So we get the picture of all this. And while they feast with you without fear, what does that mean? They don't really have the fear of God. Now with them, selfish. It's what I want. It's what I want to get out of it. So we clearly see the cross is not evident, which they are to take up daily and follow. He then goes on to say that they are clouds without water. Now, if you live in a desert and barren and dry conditions, you know, your hopes build up when you see clouds, because you're hoping with those clouds it's going to come rain. Now, of course, here in this country, in the UK, we take that for granted, because every time we see clouds, probably 8 times out of 10 there is rain that is attached to it, and we're sort of asking, well, we don't want quite so much. Although, having said that, we are seeing the weather patterns changing. But however, we get the idea of what is being said here, that they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. And of course, you see, clouds that don't really have much water liquid within them, therefore they're very fluffy and very light, and so depending upon what the winds are like up there in the atmosphere, they can soon disperse and be carried away. Whereas when you've got clouds that are much more filled with water, they're heavy, and therefore they're not so carried and moved so quickly by the winds. And so he's getting to something by saying this. And then he goes on with that, and he says, they're carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit. So you've got all these lovely trees, apple, pear trees, and plum trees, but the sad thing about it is there's no fruit on them. There's no fruit on the vines. So they're of no use. So we notice there that you can take that over, that these people that we discern, these wanderers, really bear no fruit. And Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Twice dead, pulled up by the roots. So they're not only dead outwardly, that they haven't bore any fruit, but God says, because they haven't bore any fruit, they're dead there, and I'll prove also, I will pull them up by the roots, dead twice. That's what he does with wanderers. And he goes on, they're raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Now, what description do we get here? Raging waves. So we see something that's tumultuous, that's these big waves crashing in, but really doing nothing. And that speaks to me of the hype that we have today so much amongst Christendom. This hype that comes out of this soulish worship, this hype that comes out of many of these preachers that are screaming and bawling and shouting and all these prophecies and visions that they give. But when you really look at it and analyze it, it's all a big noise, but there's nothing really there. There's very little to show for it. And that is why there's so much of this counterfeit miracles that we see today. And they use all these hypnotic means, these counterfeit means, to try and persuade and influence people that the Lord is present to heal. But it's phony what they get up to. That's the tragedy. And yet people fall for it. They use trickery. Just like magicians that use trickery, they use it as well. They know exactly how to beguile people and to convince them that this is the Holy Spirit healing. And there have been a lot who have been exposed. There have been people who have been exposed through a so-called gift of word of knowledge, where it turned out that the minister was in communication with somebody else sitting in another room and speaking out names and details of people in a hearing aid, thinking that that's a word of knowledge in operation. One could just go on and on. And that is what this is all about here. It says raging waves of the sea foaming up their own shame. And that's what it is. It's an absolute sham. So much of this, and a lot of this that goes on television, most of it is a sham. And we shouldn't be associated with it. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What a judgment. What a judgment upon these wanderers. Now we're beginning. Now, why are they wanderers? Because they can't stay, or the powers of darkness that work with them won't let them stay too long in any area. And the reason being is because they'll get found out. And that's why they move from one camp to the other, from one church to another, from one meeting to another. And that is how they do it, because otherwise they stay too long and they could get found out. And so we begin to get this idea of people who wander from one place to another. They don't really want to be found out what they really are, you see. It's very subtle. It's very clever, isn't it? Now, James also reveals something of this. Let's turn to James chapter 5 and verse 19. James chapter 5. And verse 19, and he speaks here about reconciling, bringing back people who sin, those that have erred from the faith. What does he say here in verse 19? He says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So what do we do, or what are we capable of being able to do by God's mercy and grace? We're able actually to communicate, to pray, to believe for some of these wanderers that they come back to the truth. In other words, a wanderer is one who's erred and gone away from the truth that once was giving them liberty and freedom in Christ. And of course, Galatians 5 speaks also about you who are strong, restoring one back in the faith. So here we are. Jesus reveals that some can return, and there's the hope. But these souls, who in many ways have deceived themselves, can return when saints fully discern and understand and see what these wanderers do. And not try to excuse it or change it, but to know that they have sinned, they have erred, they have fallen badly, but the mercy, love and grace of God can redeem and bring a remnant back. They're called prodigal sons. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 14, 17, we see now the nature of these wanderers. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, 14 to 17. 14 to 17 of 2 Peter chapter 2. And here I take it up. It says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Again, we get the idea of the depravity of these wanderers, these false teachers, those that seduce, beguile. And of course, it refers it to the prophet Balaam, which we all know the story about, of him, how that he was given money to prophesy curses over Israel, but found that he could not. And the donkey even tried to stop him on his journey in what he was trying to do. Again, we get this idea that we can pray, we can intercede. Now, why is it so important for us to pray and intercede for these wanderers? Well, because of the damage it can do and how the enemy uses it to come against the true Christian church. And we've seen this happen. And that is why it's important that we pray and intercede and supplicate the mercy of God over these people. It is one thing to expose them, and rightly so, but I never hear so much in all this exposing of these ministries where the person or people who are exposing then calls Christians, now can we start praying and interceding and supplicating for these people because of the witness that they give, which is so bad. That lacks very often in a lot of this discernment that is brought out today in Christendom. Because the church yet has not really come fully back to true prayer and intercession as she should be. Many believers yet still do not take this one seriously, and indeed are not available to really pray and intercede as they should. And certainly in this hour that we live, because so much of Christendom has got these people, these false teachers, that is doing all of this. So it says that these are wells without water, verse 17. Clouds carried by tempest. Here again is what we've just read. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So it's a real judgment that is set upon them, because they have made merchandise of the gospel. They have cheated. They have cheapened it. They have presented a very broad way into the kingdom. And I'm sorry to have to say it, but so much of this comes right out of America. A lot of this has been propagated right round the world, but originally it comes from America. And so therefore, because it has come from America, much of it, how much should we then be really interceding and praying for America and for these people. Because a greater judgment is set upon them simply because of the blessing and the light that they have. So, with that, I want to look at three areas. How we discern these people. I've already said that they're around. Many of us have seen them, heard them. You may have had them in your own church, your own assembly, your meetings, where they come in for a while, full of words and great promises and everything, but their commitment is absolutely shallow. And they make a lot of noise, a lot of foam, like these waves come crashing in, but in substance, very, very little. Well, the first area in this, one of the problems with these wanderers is that they're not really committed to the Lord. You will find that it doesn't take long that their commitment is shallow. They have not either fully understood or they don't really want in their heart to be totally committed to the Lord, which is discipleship. Once you're committed, you put your hands to that plow, you go forward. They never really sat down and settled it and counted the cost. And so you'll find that they're not committed to the Lord, and you'll find anyone who's not really fully committed to the Lord, you'll find secondly with that, neither are they committed in fellowship, church that maybe they go to, or where the Holy Spirit has originally baptized them into. You will find that there's no real commitment. They come and go when it suits them. You'll find that they're never always quite happy or satisfied with the fellowship or church that they go to. They've got to go to other churches and find out what else is going on, and they want to put their ears always to other teachers and so on. Which, of course, what is happening there, they are putting themselves in a very vulnerable position of taking on deceiving spirits. And that is why there are so many professing Christians amongst Christendom today who are confused. And the reason that there is so much confusion as it is because they are wanderers. They don't want to be committed really to the Lord. They don't want to be committed to a body, to function. They don't really want to be committed to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And they above all don't want to really be committed under the headship and lordship of Jesus Christ. Of course, they will never say that, but in their actions, that is what they're doing. And so in their actions, you see it. They're empty. They're not reliable. Full of good intentions. Oh, they can say all the right things, quote all the right scriptures. But in reality, in substance, hello. And it never goes further than their mouth. But Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And to bear that fruit takes time. And that fruit that we are to bear, we go through much tribulation and trial in which to bear that fruit. You will never find that those wanderers want trials. They will avoid them like the plague, even though they may create havoc and trials wherever they go. Yet they themselves are barely touched by it. And sadly, we find this is very prevalent amongst the evangelist movement. You've got a lot of evangelists around the world today, but sadly, many of them are simply wanderers. And they are not committed to anyone, and they can go into a town and just preach the gospel, boast about 1,000 souls came up, received Christ and so forth, and then they're up and off, and they're off to the next place, and so it goes. No real commitment, no real follow-up or anything. This has been prevalent amongst evangelism. And a lot of evangelism is actually a disgrace to Christendom. But God is changing these things, because now God's remnant is truly beginning to discern and test these things. And when the church starts to really pray and intercede and get into real warfare, you begin to see God then starting to deal with this and judge it. And that is what's happening. It's fearful. Which brings me on to the second area in our discerning these people, these wonders, these spiritual wonders, as I'm calling them. These spiritual wonders reveal that they are of an independent spirit, and they're only subject to themselves and their own dream. Now, of course, they will never say that, but you will detect it and discern it if you're a spiritual brother or sister that walks close with the Lord. And you will find that there is this independent spirit. In other words, I am my own destiny. I will go where I will go because God will bless me. God will bless my feet wherever I tread and wherever I go, and they'll use that. But right along with that, that independent spirit, and they're going to do and go where they want to go, and they are going to deceive the people that God is blessing it. And it comes out in so many ways. When they want meetings, you will find that they want meetings in the best of hotels, or in the best of conference rooms, or the best places wherever, putting a huge burden upon churches or Christians that have to finance that. You will find also with these spiritual wanderers that they want to stay in the best hotels, 4- and 5-star hotels. After all, I'm a son, I prosper, and so on. Again, putting huge financial burdens. And so boast about the abundant life, but that simply comes through their begging, by hypnotizing, pressurizing people into giving. But all the while, it's their planning and their scheming which reveals this independent spirit. And to be led by the Holy Spirit to go somewhere around the other side of the world, or maybe to a third world country, where they might have just to live in the most humblest of conditions, why, no thank you. They will not be attuned to that. That's probably, I hadn't thought of it, but it's just come to mind, but that's probably why in many of these areas, when you go to them, thank God that a lot of them haven't been too converted, these people, simply because a lot of them are not prepared to go there. So they're fresh, they're new, they're ready to receive the word of God, faith, the deeper life. They're subject to themselves and their own ministry. And because of that independent spirit, they honestly believe the anointing's with them, God is with them, and that is why they conjure up all this trickery that they do to deceive the people. One of the ones that they do, we have seen, this is quite a big one, where they get people to stand up and ask, have you got back trouble? And of course, a lot of people say, yes, you've got back trouble. Well, if you've got back trouble, we can guarantee you've probably got one leg shorter than the other. And so, of course, what they do is they get them to sit down on a chair, and then they stay and pray up a storm and everything, and watch, God's bringing out this leg. Look, it's growing out an extra inch. And all they're doing is just slightly moving the back of the shoe to bring it out, so that it appears as though the other foot's coming out, and there they are, they're healed. They use all this trickery in which to beguile people thinking that that's the leg that's just come out. No, we will one day, and we're being prepared, where we're going to see Almighty God, His presence there, truly healing, delivering, saving, raising the dead. No trickery. All done for the glory of God. That is the second area of these spiritual wonders. They are of an independent spirit. They're subject to themselves and no one else. They're just their own ministry, that they're building up their own empire. And thirdly, often you will get with these spiritual wanderers, false visions and revelations. And with these false visions and revelations, this is how they twist the scriptures. They try to change the revelation and understanding of the scriptures. So what they're doing is they are deceiving, undermining the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the one who comes to teach us. And they're in many ways bordering on blasphemy when they start to change the revelation of God's word by these deceiving spirits and false revelations. Because that is poison being injected into these hearers, into these people. And you know as well as I do, you program a computer wrong, and that wrong information in time keeps coming out till it's corrected. And so it's the same with people. They're injected with these false revelations, visions, and so in time they come out. And they come out in deception, confusion. And again, this is why they are spiritual wanderers. And because they give out these false visions and revelations, they're never there long enough to bear the consequences of what they do, the damage they do, because they're off doing it elsewhere. And then pastors, ministers, have to pick up the bits afterwards. I know, because I've been down that road many times. They twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And that's fundamentally what they do. They actually destroy themselves. And we probably over the last 50 years have heard and seen more false visions and revelations coming out than any other generation, any other time. One of which was the latest one, that Christ was returning on May the 21st. And look what's happened through that. There were a lot of Christians who, preparing themselves for that, were massacred, murdered as a result of that. And I'm sorry to have to say, but the blood of those people is upon that man, that church, who's prophesied this. So you see, they just don't realize the damage that they cause through these false visions and revelations. Nobody knows the day, the hour, the moment when Jesus returns. That is God's secret. That is in His heart. And it's not for anybody else. But you can be well assured, if you're an overcomer, the Holy Spirit will prepare you, and in His mercy and grace, you'll be ready in that hour and that time when the trumpet goes forth. And so we're going to see more of this that's happening. And these people are irresponsible. They belch out all this revelation and visions and everything, little realizing the damage that they cause to gullible Christians. And some of them want to get it right. They want to get their hearts right before God, but find themselves in this deception and so on. This is why I go back again. We have to be a church that prays, that intercedes, simply because of the very nature and gravity of what we live in now. And that those who profess themselves as believers, Christians, doing this sort of thing. Because as I said earlier, the devil uses this. And the media, society, government and everything are only too willing to point the finger at all of this. This gunman that mowed down some 70 odd young people on Friday in Norway said he's a Christian fundamentalist. That's what they've labeled him. Right, you are now going to find, because as a result of that, Christian fundamentalists are going to be targeted. Now, I know it's a phrase, it's a word, but because of the confusion, and you love the word of God, and you want to obey the word, and live by the word, you are going to be labeled as a Christian fundamentalist, whether you like it or not. This is why we have to pray, intercede for these things, these spiritual wanderers that do such damage. That God will be one step ahead and will deal with these lies, the powers of darkness. Because Satan comes as an angel of light, and if it were possible, even to deceive the very elect, as the word says. And finally, what lies behind these spiritual wanderers? Well, you've probably picked it up. It's rebellion. It is the epitome of rebellion. A rebel. That independent spirit, I'm going to do it my way. And as a result of it, they deceive. They're in many, many ways taking on the devil's nature. They're a type of Antichrist that goes forth deceiving. Well, I trust that the Lord has spoken to us tonight and opened our eyes a bit more about the nature of these spiritual wanderers. They're around and they will continue to be around. Is it going to get easier? No. It's going to get worse. Why, Jesus predicted in Matthew 24 that many will come in my name. And that's what they do. I showed you a few weeks ago, they're not saying that I'm the Christ, but they're doing it in his name. And that is the point. And that's why the Lord's also said in Matthew 7 that many will prophesy, many will do these things in his name, but I never knew you. Why? Because they're spiritual wanderers. They are empty. They have nothing about them. It is all a work of the flesh. It's entertainment. It's soulish. It's pumping up the people. It's beguiling them, hypnotizing them. Comes out of entertainment. You've got entertainers. You've got magicians and all that do exactly the same thing, except they don't do it in the name of Jesus. But it's principally still the same thing, what they do. And you've got these men and women who do such things. And they have an independent spirit, and they'll move from place to place, causing havoc wherever they go. We need to be very much in prayer and intercession. Because what the enemy is trying to do through all of this is to defame the glory of God in his church. And there are times when it seems as though the enemy has the upper hand. There are times when it looks as though he's achieved his goal. But the true saints of God who love the Lord Jesus will not lay back and let that happen. They will get on their knees and they will pray and they will intercede and they will fast, because something about them is jealous for God's glory. Amen. Father, tonight again we thank you for your need to hear these things. Father, we, or most of us, have encountered these wanderers, these spiritual wanderers. Or some of us have come out of cults where we were held by these people. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this, because this is your mercy and grace. But Lord, I pray that we may be a people who are found faithful in this last day, praying for the church, praying for the true remnant, that she comes forth as she is, triumphant. And as we press in, Lord, that the greater works, the latter rain, will come. And Father, it will expose this emptiness that is in these people, the shallowness, the worldliness that is attached to it, that it will expose the confusion that it causes, and the divisions, and so on. Father, we thank you that you are on the throne. You are Lord, you are Master, as you've revealed tonight. And whatever is happening, you permit and allow, because you have a plan at the end of it. So let us not be disheartened. Let us not be cast down or depressed over all of this, but let us rise up and know that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that is why you said, my house is a house of prayer, because it pulls down the strongholds of Satan. Your house divides Satan's kingdom. And let us all have a vision and an understanding of that, and that we may wax bolder and bolder in our prayers, intercessions, and warfare, Father, that we raise a standard against the powers of darkness through the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight for drawing us together in fellowship, in unity, oneness. Bless us, preserve us.